God's grace, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We'll start out today in Scripture. Let's just start in Genesis chapter 4. We read there. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. And Cain said to Abel, his brother, Let us go out into the fields. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Wow, that's quite an example of anger, and I'd like to talk with you about anger today. Sin was crouching at the door like a tiger. Anger to get inside of Cain, that he would do this horrible thing. And he opened the door and let it in. So let's talk about anger today. It's something we all experience, right? Is it ever right for us to be angry as Christians? Can we be angry at times? Should we go around with a hot displeasure on a daily basis? Should we hold on to anger, seek vengeance, or be ready to flare up and pop and blow at a moment's notice? As some people we know do that type of thing. Is it ever right for us to be angry? And I'm going to ask you a question right now. Are you angry right now with anyone? Well, let's talk about anger today and see what God would teach us about it through His holy word, the scriptures, and what He wants us to know, because God has a lot to say about anger. First, let's ask a question. What is anger? And I'll ask you this question. Is it a hot emotion or a cold emotion? Who says hot? Hot emotion. Who says cold? Okay, yeah. Sometimes it can be a little cold, right? Like people that are seeking vengeance. They may be boiling inside, but outwardly they're very cool because they're calculating, ready to serve revenge as a cold antipasta, right? So it can seem cold, but on the inside it's always hot. It is a burning state of the heart to have anger inside of us. Your blood gets up into your face. Your face might even become red and your face is clenched and you're ready for action. And it is a hot displeasure, usually with antagonism. In other words, anger is directed at something. It's against someone or something. You're always seeking to go against something when you're angry. Now, you could be angry at yourself. You could be angry at a situation. You could be angry at a thing, like a hammer that you hit yourself with. You're usually, though, angry at people, a person, a group. Some people are even angry at God. And so when you get angry, what happens, according to one scientist, is that your blood moves from your digestion to your heart, and then your intestines stop digesting food because your whole body is shutting down in order to gear you up for action. Your spleen secretes adrenaline, has that released. Your liver moves the sugar into your blood. Everything is getting ready to fight. That's what you feel when you feel anger, isn't it? You're ready to fight, to destroy, and to kill. Anger is always seeking to destroy something, isn't it? It's not like I'm angry in order to be nice. Angry is trying to hurt the other person, often because we get hurt or something. But it boils up like a pot or like a volcano to burst. It's sort of like the Hulk, right? You guys have watched the Hulk. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And then all of a sudden he rages, he tears off his clothes, he turns green. He goes into a blind rage, and when he wakes up afterwards, he looks behind him, what happened? and he sees this long wake of destruction left behind him, such as anger. Now, when do we experience anger? We experience anger when we perceive an injustice has been done to us or to somebody else. Notice the word perceive. Cain, we read just a few minutes ago, right? Did he have a just anger? He was perceiving an injustice against himself when there was no injustice at all. God was doing the right thing, but he perceived an injustice. In other words, I didn't get my way. I didn't get it the way I planned it. I didn't get what I wanted. It's an injustice against me, even though it wasn't. And so he got angry. So we get angry when we perceive an injustice against us or someone else. Even if it's not there, if we perceive it and think it's there, we'll get angry. Nobody gets angry when they're having a good time, right? If you're on a beach and there are two palm trees and there's a hammock slung between them and you're sitting on this hammock with a tropical breeze in your face and you're sipping a margarita, who gets angry? Even the worst villain is happy. Until a little beach crab comes up, knocks over his margarita, and he flies into a rage at the crab because he didn't get what he wanted. He perceived an injustice was done against him, so he gets angry. And that's when we get angry, is when we perceive an injustice. And, you know, some of us are cooler personalities. Some of us are hotter personalities. Some are hotter in colder situations. Woe to the person who gets a hot personality in a hot situation put together, right? I had a captain in Maine years ago who was a big 6'4", burly, ex-Marine captain. And hair flying, big, strong guy. And he had anger like a storm at sea at times. He told me once he was substituting at a junior high school in the wintertime. You're putting a hot personality with a hot situation. Because there was a kid that was making trouble in the class. He was stirring things up. He was disobedient. He was mouthing off. But this time he picked the wrong muchacha. My captain said when he mouthed off at him, my captain flew into a rage. And he's like an ape, a strong hulk of a man. He takes a desk, he flings it, he lunges over another desk, takes the kid and pins him up against the wall. And says, you better be careful with me, kid, because I'm like a defective firecracker. You never know when I might go off. Well, the kid was petrified, frozen solid. He probably needed to change his clothes. And he was, and the captain was like, oh my goodness, when he finally cooled down, he's like, oh, I might get fired tomorrow or a lawsuit come against me for this. I shouldn't have done that. Well, he gets up the next day, goes in. School didn't chastise him. In fact, the kids had made him a superhero cape because finally this troublemaker that no one else would deal with because they're afraid of a lawsuit got quieted down and he got off scot-free. But usually anger doesn't work that way. It is always destructive. It's seeking to destroy or hurt. Therefore, it doesn't usually end up well. So let me ask you a question. Is all anger a sin? What do you say? Should a Christian always be cool, calm, and collected and never experience anger? Is it wrong for you to experience anger? You know, it has that rap, doesn't it? Christians should never experience anger, or so you hear. But is that really so? Let's take a look at the Bible in Exodus 16. Here's a great saint. You've heard of Moses. Hall of Famer, saint. We read that he was teaching the people of Israel about manna that came down from the sky to feed the people from God. And Moses said, it's the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. And then he said, once you've gathered it up, verse 19, let no man leave any of it till the morning. In other words, eat it all up at night. Don't test God. He's going to provide tomorrow's, but don't leave any till tomorrow. Well, what'd they do? They didn't listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And it says here, and Moses was angry with them. Angry! Why? Because they disobeyed God, had no regard for his name, did not trust in the Holy One. They rejected his command. Was that anger wrong? You tell me. Was it right? It was a righteous anger. It wasn't a sin. It was right for him to be angry in that case. You know, in another case, there's Paul in the New Testament. He's preaching to the whole ancient world, and he gets to a place called Cyprus, an island. And then he starts to try to preach to the proconsul, the head of the island, there with Barnabas. But a man withstands him. His name is Elymas, the magician, for that's the meaning of his name. He withstands Paul and Barnabas, seeking to turn away the proconsul from the faith. So Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind and unable to see for a time." And a great mist fell upon his eyes, and he went about groping for someone to lead him by the hand. Now, how do you think Paul said that? Calm, cool, and collected? Do you think? Did he say, "You son of all unrighteousness, you enemy of the devil, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" You think that's how he talked? Or was he like, "You are getting in the way of the Lord. Step aside. The Lord's word is straight." He got angry. It's not a sin for you to get angry. It's a human emotion. Did Jesus get angry? Remember that time he's in the synagogue in Mark chapter 3? And there's a man there with a withered hand, it says. And Jesus, they were watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to all the synagogue, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it?" But they were silent. And the Bible says he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and the hand was made whole. And then they, of course, took counsel how to kill him. So, was that righteous? Yes or no? Lynn, was that righteous? A righteous anger. Jesus got angry. It's not a sin for you to feel anger. Sometimes it's right and just. Jesus, of course, went into a place once called the temple. And what did he do? He made a whip of cords. And he drove them all out of the temple. Because he says, "You're making my Father's house, which is to be a house of prayer, into a den of robbers." And he got angry and he drove them out. Do you think he did that like, "Shoo, shoo"? Or was he like, "Phew," making them go because zeal for God's house consumed him. And the zeal was anger, namely righteous anger at injustice. So sometimes in life we gotta be angry if we're gonna be righteous, because the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. If you're gonna love justice, you gotta hate injustice. For example, if you're walking down the street and you look in down this alleyway and there's a bar and a woman comes out of it at night and she's quickly followed by two very strange dark men, evil looking guys, and they drag her and force her into a corner and she starts to scream and put the hands over her mouth and drag her into the darkness, and you walk by and you're not stirred in your heart with a righteous anger, how could you be a Christian? That anger is just in order to key you up, ready for action, to rescue this poor damsel in distress, beat the guys to a pulp off of her, or, at the very least, run and get the police. So anger is good at times, given to us by God. It's part of who we are. Let me ask you a question. Can it be a sin, though? Can it be trouble? It can definitely be a sin, and with man, it usually is. And it leads to evil. Recall, our first example there was Cain. Cain's anger was evil. It wasn't right. It was evil. He takes his brother out into the field and murders his brother. A tiger. Like, sin was like a tiger at his door, and he let it in, and the rage filled him, and he committed a horrible, grievous sin. If you think about the brothers of Joseph, they got angry with him. They threw him into a pit. They wanted to kill him. But then they eventually sold him into Egypt. If you think about Joab, And he was seeking to avenge his brother Asahel's death, and so he tells Abner, "Come on over here, friend. Let's talk for a little while. I have a secret to share with you from the king." And he takes a secret out, namely his dagger, and plunges it into his belly. Anger is what did it. And it was with anger that the Jews ground their teeth at Stephen and said, "You know, we're going to take you out and stone you to death." And they stoned him with stones. And it was with anger that they crucified the righteous one, Jesus Christ, because they were jealous of him. So usually man's anger is evil, right? And it seeks the destruction of its fellow man. So let's ask a question. What does God want you and me to do with our anger? What does he want us to do when we feel anger welling inside of us, when we get hurt in life, as that's what happens. We get hurt and we get angry. So what should we do? Okay, we got a couple things there. Good. Let's see here, James. We read this. "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God." So everybody but say, slow to anger. Oh, you even said it slowly. Good job. Slow to anger is God's will for us, that we be not like a volcano, hot, ready to burst at a moment's notice, but that we be cool, like water. Take things slow. Be slow to have it provoked inside of us. "For he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding," says Proverbs 17. Secondly, let's open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 26, Paul says this. He says, "Be angry, but do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger." In other words, God says, when you feel anger, my people, even if it's of the righteous kind and you are hurt, get rid of it quickly. Because, again, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So even righteous anger, don't hold on to it past sundown. Deal with it, forgive it, give it to me. God says, I'll take care of it. You be cool. Be cool. That's a great sermon right there, isn't it? Why does God want us to put away our anger quickly, even the righteous kind? Well, James says the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Even if you get angry, leave it to God. He knows how to deal with it better than you do. If you get involved, exploding with your anger, guess what? You're just going to make a mess for yourself and me and all of us. I would do the same, right? The violence escalates. When the Hulk, Brendan and Gianna, you guys love superheroes, right? When the Hulk gets angry, of course he rescues people, but what is left behind him? Broken down buildings, smashed trucks. It's a disaster. Usually when you get angry, someone hurts you, right? And there's an injustice, and you get angry back and hurt back. Behind you is a big mess to clean up, and it takes so much more energy than if you just kept your mouth shut. In 1894, there was a baseball game. Baltimore Orioles came to Boston to play the team there, and the third baseman, John McGraw, got into a fight with the Boston third baseman. One little fight. They fought back and forth. Pretty soon, though, both teams were out fighting with each other, the whole team. And then it spread to the stands, and the fans started fighting with each other. And then someone decided to set fire to something, which then ended up burning down the entire baseball stadium, which then the fire spread and burned 117 buildings simply because of one fight, because he returned it. If he just stopped the fight at the first blow and said, "Hey, I'll leave it to the umpires, he'll take care of it," then we could have avoided all this trouble. And if we just leave it to the umpire, God, and say, "God, you handle this, I'm keeping my hands off," you're going to be so much more trouble-free. It'll be so beautiful. For it ultimately leads to destruction and death of somebody. There was a park ranger one time, and he went out and he found two huge moose antlers from these great bull mooses. And they were locked together. But all that was left was a skeleton. Because they'd locked together in this great duel, but then they died because they couldn't fend for themselves or have food because they were locked in a fight and they never escaped from it. If we return evil for evil, and I know, I feel the same thing. When someone ticks me off or cuts me off on the road or something, I want to cut them off and get back involved and get justice. But guess what? You just end up making more trouble. I would do the same, right? God says, leave it to me. Leave it alone. Besides, it gives the devil a foothold. Be angry, but do not sin, says Paul. And don't let the sun go down in your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. If you look in the Greek, the word opportunity is topos. Like topographic. It means place. Give no place to the devil. Give no opportunity to the devil. It can also even mean an anchorage, a port, a safe harbor. So if you picture it, the devil's like on this great warship sailing off your coasts. This way. And that way. And he's looking to find if he can find a little port somewhere in our lives to come in and drop anchor and then lay siege the town with his cannons and destroy it. Blow you to smithereens. He's looking for it. And the port is anger. If you hold on to it past sundown, devil's like, ooh, there's an opportunity. In he comes and boom, destruction is the result. And it can also bring God's wrath. Jesus says, you've heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill. And whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother, liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be liable to the hell of fire. In other words, let's pour some water on that anger. Be cool. Extinguish it. Leave it to God. It makes a lot of trouble. What if the other person's a jerk, you say? Well, God would say, let him be a jerk. You be good. You're going to get off much better if you just leave these things in my hands. As God said to Cain, sin is crouching at the door, if you will, like a tiger, but you must master it. So how can we get rid of anger, do you think? You already gave me some suggestions, I heard. Yeah, that's a good one. Let's get to that. That's number four. Thank you, Lynn. Number one, let's just memorize this verse together from James 1. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. When you get angry and you're fuming and you're ready to blow, just say, but this is not going to work God's righteousness. It's not going to, he knows better than I do. So I'll put it away. Secondly, answer people softly. You ever find when someone hurts you, you want to just get louder? What are you doing, not caring? And you go after the person? Well, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If someone comes against you, just speak softly to them. It might quiet them down. And even not, at least you're quiet. Pour water on the flame. Thirdly, take a little while, God says, to answer. For the mind of a righteous man ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. If you get hurt, sometimes you just want to go at them. God says, just go, tighten those lips, give it some time, let it cool off. For he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. You keep your lips shut, you're considered wise. When you close your lips, you're deemed intelligent. And then, Lynn, pray for the person who's hurting you or who has just abused you, and then be quick to forgive them. Pray for those who abuse you, says Jesus. In Pennsylvania, in October 2006, there was in Amish country, there was a milkman, his name was Charles Roberts, always delivered milk to the schoolhouse, but then one day he just did one of those things and walked in there with a rifle or a gun. Killed a number of the students. Well, the Amish families, how did they respond in this case? Hurt, bleeding, wounded, they buried their daughters. But then the guy actually took his own life, so they couldn't do anything with him. But then they went to the widow of the killer and her three children and forgave her personally. Donated money to help her, went to his burial service, and then even embraced the widow. That is supernatural love. Bible says, put away wrath, bitterness, anger, clamor, slander, and malice, and be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving others as God forgave you. Does that mean that there's no justice? Well, God says that if justice is to be served, remember who's the best one at administering it. Leave it to me. As Paul says, never avenge yourselves, Say that with me. Never avenge yourself. Leave it to the wrath of God. Let Him do it. He knows how to avenge better than you and I do. Just leave it in my hands, God says. Meanwhile, you do the right thing and leave the judgment to me. For good sense makes a man slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook an offense. For it's to your credit. Any schmo, say schmo. Any schmo can blow his top. But it takes a man of character to have a cool spirit, quiet it down, and put it aside. And that's what God's calling us to. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who takes a city. Let me ask you a question. Have you sinned in your anger? We've all done that, right? We've totally blown it. We've sinned. Guess what God says? But I come to forgive you. I had anger at your sin, even at your anger, but I come to put it away, to forgive you. And what we're working on here today is our improvement. None of us is going to be perfect, but we're praying for the improvement in these things, as Paul says. So how especially can we do this with all speed and put away our anger? You know, this is the way, to look to God and to Christ and how He has dealt with us with respect to His anger. Is God an angry God? What do you think? Is He naturally angry, Alice? He's not naturally angry. He is naturally very cool, peaceful. Can He be provoked to anger? Yes, if you sin. Eventually He's provoked to anger, and it is a fury. It is wrath. It is a hot anger God has against the injustice of sin, since He's just. But when He had anger at all of us on account of our sin, how did He deal with us? What did He do? He worked to put it away by sending. He says, Jesus, my own Son, you're going down there to the earth to abate my anger, to take away my wrath, to set their injustice to rights, and to set it right by your own justice. Die on the cross for their sins and carry my wrath far, far away with their sins. And that's what Jesus did. There's a day of wrath coming, God says, but I come to save you from it. Isaiah 54 says, in overflowing wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting love, I'll have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. When Jesus went to the cross, Peter says, when they reviled Him, He didn't revile in return. When He suffered, He didn't threaten back, but He trusted to the One who judges justly. God, I leave it in your hands. And then it says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you've been healed. For you are all straying like sheep, but have now returned to the Shepherd and Guardian of your souls. Is God angry at you right now, Dick? In Christ Jesus? How about you, Joanne? If you are in Christ Jesus, and you are, He says, my wrath has been put away from you. And only over you right now in Christ is joy crowning your heads. I delight in you, and my anger is gone. Because the day of the storm of God's wrath is coming, but God says, I've saved you out of that storm through my Son Jesus, who says to the storm and to the winds and the waves, peace, be still. And there's a great calm. The sea is like glass. That's how God is towards us. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. And God says, there is therefore now no condemnation for you. In Christ Jesus, your Lord, your sins are forgiven, and I love you. And therefore, as God, think about it, as God has first been to us with respect to His anger, to put it away and be slow and be cool, let's put ours away and be cool and leave it all to God in His hands and pray for the salvation of those who hurt us. Last thing I'll say is this. God foresaw the day of our redemption. Isaiah 12. God says, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for you were angry with me. But your anger turned away from me, and you comforted me. Oh, God, you are my salvation. I trust in you, and I won't be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.